What a match day three we've been treated to. On Tuesday, Juan Cuadrado's strike gave Juventus all 3 points in France.
Cuadrado now on the right-hand side, and he's into the penalty area and steps around his man and goes for goal! Oh, it's a tremendous goal! Juan Cuadrado for Juventus!
Whilst at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid put five past Legia.
Morata bearing down that right-hand side. Oh, slammed in wonderfully on the volley. Wonderful cross, and the two substitutes combine. It's Lucas Vazquez, who's just come on 4 minutes ago.
Then on Wednesday, Lionel Messi scored a hat-trick as Barcelona got the better of their former coach, Pep Guardiola.
Squares it for Messi on the hat-trick. 3-0. Messi's done it again. The records continue to tumble. It's a seventh UEFA Champions League hat-trick for Lionel Messi.
And it was an impressive night for Bayern as they won comfortably against PSV.
Robin with the header and scores! Arjen Robin doesn't score that many with his head, does he? It's now Bayern München 4, PSV Eindhoven 1.
Elsewhere, there were match day three wins for Leicester, Porto, Sevilla, Atletico, Arsenal and Benfica. We'll hear from key players and head coaches, including Hugo Lloris and Zinedine Zidane, as we analyse all of the action right here on Match Day Live. Hello, I'm Rob Tady. Welcome to the show. Alongside me, European football expert Paul Saffer. Paul, two great days worth of action again. Let's have some highlights from you. One from Tuesday, one from Wednesday. What spring to mind?
Well, I think on Tuesday, I'm going to actually pick out Leicester's 1-0 win against Copenhagen. When you look at the fact that in those group C to D, you've got Real Madrid, Dortmund, Juventus. Leicester are the only ones with a perfect record. Not conceded the goal even on their UEFA Champions League debut. And they're looking, although Copenhagen gave them a great game, Leicester are so close now to going through. That's tremendous. And today, can't really look beyond the game that we featured, which was Barcelona 4, Manchester City 0. A Messi hat-trick and a Neymar goal sounds like it was a straightforward win, but as we're going to discuss, it was nowhere near the case. There was just so much drama, so much action, a couple of red cards. Manchester City could well have had a different result, but in the end, they kind of handed the win to Barcelona.
We'll talk about that more later. Let's start with the classified result of all of Match Day 3's games. Tuesday, Group E, CSKA Moskva 1, Monaco 1, Leverkusen 0, Spurs 0. Group F, Real Madrid 5, Legia 1, Sporting 1, Borussia Dortmund 2. Group G, Leicester 1, Copenhagen 0, Club Brugge 1, Porto 2. And in Group H, Dinamo Zagreb 0, Sevilla 1, Lyon 0, Juventus 1. Then on Wednesday, in Group A, Arsenal beat Ludogorets 6-0, Paris Saint-Germain 3, Basel 0, Group B, Napoli 2, Besiktas 3, Dynamo Kiev 0, Benfica 2. Group C, Celtic lost at home to Borussia Mönchengladbach by 2-0. Barcelona beat Manchester City 4-0. And in Group D, it was Bayern 4, PSV 1, Rostov 0, Atletico 1. Let's start with Tuesday's action then, and we'll begin with Juve's visit to Lyon in Group H. This one was watched by Richard Connolly.
Alexandre Lacazette, Lyon's star man, is saved by Juventus' star man, their hero goalkeeper, Buffon to the rescue. And now Fekir collects inside the box, he shoots, oh what a save! What a save by Buffon! Falling one way, stuck up the arm and somehow tipped it over the bar. In goes the free kick, oh the back post, Buffon's there again! Buffon's there again to deny Tolisso! Point blank range!
Cuadrado now on the right-hand side and he's into the penalty area and steps around his man and goes for goal! Oh, it's a tremendous goal!
Juan Cuadrado for Juventus! From the narrowest of angles, he thumped it in! It's Lyon 0, Juventus 1!
And that only goal from Cuadrado was enough to win it for Juve. But the Italian newspapers, Paul, I was having a look the next day. It was all about Gigi Buffon, and understandably so.
Of course, if it even had for the fact that he hadn't actually started that season so brilliantly, so maybe even the first question marks in a couple of decades about him, but he laid them all to rest. I mean, the penalty save wasn't even the highlights. We could hear from Richard's commentary before the sound of his voice when he made that amazing one-handed save. Remember, by that point, Juventus were already down to 10 men, and Cuadrado coming off the bench to score a great winner was almost an afterthought. But there it is, such a vital win, because it puts the Juventus in such a strong position ahead of the return home game in what could have been a very difficult game for them at the Stade de Lyon.
Yeah, and I suppose that the goal from Cuadrado was a reminder. Juve have specifically targeted this competition, the squad depth that they do have available to them now.
Yeah, absolutely. They have done, because although they got to the final a couple of years ago when they lost to Barcelona, they maybe haven't quite fulfilled the potential that they've shown year after year in Serie A in this competition. We've even seen them maybe not start as well domestically as normally they have done. Maybe they do have an eye on, because of course the group with Sevilla and Lyon is a little bit tougher maybe than what they're used to in the UEFA Champions League, but maybe they're starting to put Lyon to bed with that win, because if they beat them again, they'll be through and they won't have to worry about Lyon. But they're made to work awfully hard, and if it hadn't been for Buffon, they probably wouldn't have been looking at defeat last night.
I mean, I mentioned this to Chris Parrott on the last show. What do you think is the minimum expectation for Juve this season in the competition? Is it to get to at least the... I know they've targeted winning it, obviously, but semi-finals, would that be the minimum expectation for them?
I mean, it slightly depends how the draw works out, because you never know that if you get to the round of 16 and you play Barcelona and you just get pipped. I mean, it could happen if they say lose out the group to Sevilla. I think win the group, first of all. Make sure you get as good a round of 16 tie as ever. Because once you get to the quarterfinals, it's anyone's guess. But for Juventus, I think they'll feel that they haven't... The team they've had at the moment, they've had for a few years, hasn't really done themselves justice. They've got to one final, and otherwise they've slightly underperformed. And I think they'll want to put that right. It's been a while, of course, since we've seen an Italian winner in Inter really standing out in 2010. That was the last time. And Juventus, a longer wait, of course, have been to a couple of finals. Yeah. But I think they are thinking it's about time. And this team as a unit have probably only got a certain amount of time left as well. So this season is very important. Although, of course, with your Bayern and Real Madrid and Barcelona, you can't expect to win this competition, but maybe they'll expect to feature and expect to give those teams a bit of a better game than maybe they have done in the last few seasons.
The other game in the group was a 1-0 win for Sevilla at Dinamo Zagreb. Sami Nasri, the first half winner. So Juve and Sevilla both have 7 points. Lyon have 3, and Dinamo Zagreb at bottom of the section. And should Juve and Sevilla win the next fixtures on match day 4, as they on the reverse of those fixtures, they will be through to the round of 16. Our second feature match on Tuesday was Real Madrid against Legia at the Bernabeu, and there was plenty of entertainment for the home fans in the Spanish capital.
Ronaldo on the ball, touch wide, this could be 5, it is, Morata gets the goal, and now both substitutes are in on the act, made again by Ronaldo, who has 2 assists but not yet a goal, planted into the bottom corner by Alvaro Morata, and it's Real Madrid 5, Legia 1.
Morata coming off the bench to score for Real Madrid. I mean, what are you making to them, Paul? They got a big win at the weekend domestically, but it had been 4 draws before that. Are they convincing you yet, Real Madrid?
Well, it's hard to say, because I suppose both the results against Legia and result of the weekend maybe weren't against the absolute top teams. I mean, they've got... We see coming up, they've got obviously got the derby against Atletico coming up next month. Of course, there'll be the return against Dortmund as well, which... We expect, when we discuss Sporting Dortmund later on, we're expecting Dortmund and Real Madrid now to duel for first place in this group. I mean, it seems incredible to think a week ago people were talking about Zinedine Zidane under pressure, having just delivered a UEFA Champions League, you know, in his first season. Yeah. But there it is. They did what they needed to. But what you have to remember is in that first little spell, before that big spell of goals that went, where it went from 0-0 to 2-1 very quickly, Legia could have been 2 up after about 10 minutes. They actually dominated that early phase of the game, and there were a few weaknesses exposed from Madrid. They turned it around later, and Ronaldo even quite an unselfish performance considering how close he is to 100 goals in Europe.
He was trying at the end though, wasn't he? He was trying to score.
He was trying with the end, and you can sometimes see when he's made a goal and maybe the ball hasn't come back to him that he's going through the motions of celebrating sometimes. When you've got the game won, of course. I mean, he's worrying about winning the game first. That game was won in the second half, but still... We've got Bale's goal, maybe the highlight of the game, the very first of the 6 goals that came through. That was great. And Legia can take some pride from their performance. They're still without a game. They've got a horrible goal difference in the group, minus 12 after 3 games. So they actually performed well. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Warsaw when they have to return, even if Madrid will be favourites. Legia will think, well, we've got something that we can at least aim for there, because they proved certainly in the first half that Madrid were human and do have certainly got flaws. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Well, despite the convincing scoreline, Zinedine Zidane says there's still plenty of work to be done.
We are always open to improvement, obviously. We took a few risks today, but sometimes that can be a good thing. And in this case, it helped open up the game. We created many, many chances tonight. We know it will be a different game during the next match day, and we'll probably have different players available to us. But tonight, it was just important to get that victory. People always seem to want us to score 5, 7, sometimes even 10 goals. But it's never that easy. We had to work very hard for tonight's result and also make sure we kept it tight at the back.
A lot of pressure on Zinedine Zidane, but he won the UEFA Champions League title last season and he's out to do it again this season with Real Madrid. Also in that group, Borussia Dortmund picked up a victory as they won 2-1 at Sporting. Phil Blacker joined us on the show. Phil, you are our commentator for Barcelona City, but you were also on this game on Tuesday, and it was a thriller, really, between Dortmund and Sporting.
It was been spoiled this week. Really good game, actually, with, again, plenty of chances for the scoreline to have been much bigger than it actually was, with opportunities for both sides. Thought Dortmund were excellent in the first half. A lot of the talk before the game had been about the injury absentees. They were without 9 senior players for the match, including attacking talents like André Schürrle, who wasn't fit to feature. And yet they really got at Sporting early, got the early goal, which helped an awful lot from Aubameyang. Julian Weigl with the second, first ever goal in senior football. I think even the travelling Dortmund fans were stunned into silence when he found the
lovely
bottom corner with that one.
It
was a great goal, really good finish. But Sporting, who'd been outplayed for long periods of that first half, were really spirited, I thought, in their response in the second half. Got the goal through Bruno César, and they did have a number of chances, actually, to get something out of the game, but just came up short. And I think that's going to be so significant in that group, because the perception beforehand was that, you know, those were the two teams battling for one place, really, with Real Madrid. And the away win for Dortmund is massive in that group.
Are you impressed with Dortmund's squad depth? I mean, they had so many injuries going into that game, Phil, but they still managed to cope with it, getting an away win at Sporting.
I'm really impressed with how the players that they brought in and, you know, to an extent played out of position, came in and did the job. Christian Pazlet was making a debut, I think, in the UEFA Champions League, and out of position, a teenage midfield player / right back who was having to play at left back.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd been without Schmelzer had got injured in the previous game against Hertha. I think they were down to sort of their third, fourth choice left back. Park, the South Korean, hadn't been registered for the UEFA Champions League because they, I guess, didn't think they need to get that far down the pecking order in that position. But whoever came in, wherever they were put by the coach, they did a fantastic job, showed real resilience in difficult circumstances, because there was real momentum behind Sporting at times in that second half.
Phil, we'll come back to you for a dissection of Barcelona's win very shortly, but that victory for Dortmund put some level on points with Real Madrid, and they're just above them in the standings. Sporting are third with 3 points. Legia yet to get off the mark. Legia host Real Madrid next, and Sporting go to the Bernabéu Stadium on match day 4. And something to point out as well, Julian Weigl, who scored in that game, said he hadn't scored since he played for 1816 München's under-19s team, and he didn't know how to celebrate. It was a lovely goal, and Dortmund with the victory. Let's move on to Group E now. Leverkusen held to a 0-0 draw by Spurs, largely down to the brilliant work of Hugo Lloris.
We knew straight away after the draw that the both games against Leverkusen will be very decisive for the following of the competition, and that's the case. I think we can be pleased with the result of today, because if we would have lost, we could have had some regret, especially for the qualification. But at the moment, we are still in the race.
Sort of putting Hugo Lloris, Paul, back in the UEFA Champions League last night was sort of a reminder last night of just how good he can be for Spurs.
Well, we saw it for many years for Lyon as well. He is a very good goalkeeper, and this was a very good performance, especially in the second half. Actually, in the first half, it was for Leverkusen and their goalkeeper who actually probably sort of kept them in the game a little bit. Tottenham did have some good chances in the first half. The second half was all Leverkusen. It seemed inevitable that they were going to score a goal, and somehow they didn't, and that keeps Tottenham ahead of Leverkusen in the group, ahead of the return, which is at Wembley, which is Tottenham's home in this competition. And that performance from Lloris could be why they get through to the round of 16 instead of Leverkusen.
I mean, the save everyone's talking about is the one from Chicharito on the line, where it looked like it had gone over, Was that the best save we've seen, perhaps, in the tournament so far?
I don't even know if it was the best save last night, because there were several candidates like Buffon's, but I think certainly Hauk, the ball was about, I think they, because of the new technology they have, we can see how far the ball was over the line, and it was about 90% over the line when he stopped it, so it was an incredible reaction, and certainly just so vital, because you could have well seen Leverkusen go on and get more after that, and Cicoretti had several chances after that as well to score, and his confidence seemed to go down and down every chance he had. He just was getting further and further away. I mean, he was getting into positions, but Tottenham kept him out and a very good rear guard from them yesterday.
So how does that leave, in your view, Spurs and Leverkusen in terms of qualifying for the round of 16?
Well, Tottenham are 1 point ahead of Leverkusen, who've drawn all their three games so far. The problem for Tottenham, although they're at home to Leverkusen, they're at home at Wembley, where they've lost to Monaco and is not their regular home. We saw many years ago at the old Wembley when Arsenal had to play some UEFA Champions League games there. They didn't play their best. Yeah. They didn't play their best. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the second game there. If Tottenham can make it feel at home, and if they can beat Leverkusen, and then of course they've got a 4-point cushion over them, Tottenham will still have to play Suska. They'll still have the home game against. They'll still have a home game against Suska as well. So they'd be strong favourites to go through then. But that's probably the big issue. How settled Tottenham will be when they come to play Wembley in what in theory is a home match against Leverkusen.
The other game in the group was a 1-1 draw between CSKA and Monaco. Lassine Traoré, on loan from Monaco, scored against them before a late goal from Silva saved the draw. So Monaco are top of the group with 5 points. They host CSKA next, while Leverkusen go to North London to take on Tottenham. On to Group G, finally Leicester with that 1-0 win over Copenhagen thanks to Riyad Mahrez's goal. Let's hear from Wes Morgan, the Leicester City captain, pleased with the win and another clean sheet.
Copenhagen was a very strong team, very solid, very organised and very physical. So we had to definitely match that. We had to show some intensity tonight and we had to battle hard. And, you know, there wasn't many chances, but we got the vital goal at the right time, I felt.
More points in their group than in the Premier League this season, Paul. Turning into another bizarre season for Leicester City. Who knows what's going to happen?
I mean, remember Dortmund doing that a few years ago. Well, they had that horrible start to the Bundesliga in their last season. Under Klopp, I suppose, whether Leicester, having had the seeding as English champions, maybe haven't ended up exactly in a group of death, although they still had to go to Belgium and win. And FC Copenhagen hadn't lost for a long time before last night, and they really, really, really gave Leicester a tough, tough chance. We saw Kasper Schmeichel make that save right at the end, and Riyad Mahrez has played excellently in the competition so far, like he did in the Premier League last year. Danny Drinkwater stepped up last night, in particular, to hold things together in the way N'Golo Kante would have done last year, in a way that has been badly missed since his move away. In the Premier League for Leicester, they are clearly not the same team without Kante, which is understandable considering how superb he was last season. But nevertheless, they've got the 3 wins. They can't ask more than that. They are 1 win away from going through. It can be any of the games that are coming up. It could well come in Copenhagen. They could even get through as a draw, depending on what happens in the other games. So they couldn't have asked more. And they're even going to now be in the situation. The dream situation will be if they can get through with a couple of games to spare, they can even really start to put their concentration back on the Premier League, where,
exactly.
OK, they're in lower mid-table, they're not quite in relegation trouble at the moment, but they're probably in the position where people would have expected them to be last season. They're already a long way off the top of the table, which wouldn't have been a surprise had they not done one of the most extraordinary things in football history last season.
Porto picked up a 2-1 win at Club Brugge in the same group, thanks to Silva's penalty in added time. Leicester topped the group with 9 points. No team in UEFA Champions League history has failed to make the round of 16 in that situation. Leicester go to Copenhagen on match day 4. OK, next on the show, we're going to have analysis and reaction from Wednesday's games.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Non au racisme.
Nein til racisme.
Não ao racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Paul Saffer and me, Rob Daly. Our review of Wednesday's Match Day 3 action begins at the Camp Nou, where Barcelona played Manchester City. Phil Blacker was your commentator.
All breaks favourably here for Messi to slide it through towards Iniesta in the middle. It might come back to Messi, and does, and he's around the goalkeeper and scored for Barcelona. Here's Messi, it was played in by Iniesta. Oh, he's picked out the bottom corner. Lionel Messi at the double for Barcelona. Oh, he's been allowed to run by Stones for Suarez. Squares it for Messi on the hat-trick. 3-0. Messi's done it again. And Neymar now takes the pass from Messi. Neymar still going on to the right foot. Scores this time. 4-0. And Neymar does have his goal after all. And Barcelona are running away with it as Manchester City crash to their heaviest ever defeat in European competition.
What a result for Barcelona. But Phil Blacker, one key moment in this fixture really swung it in Luis Enrique's favour.
It did. There were a couple of major moments in the match. The one that you're talking about, I'm sure, is the sending off of Claudio Bravo when it was just 1-0. Manchester City were creating chances early in the second half. They'd had a number of chances in the first half as well. But yet again, we're left to reflect on a red card for Manchester City in a fixture against Barcelona. And it's no coincidence that they've now gone on to lose on each of the five occasions when the club have met, because this was a game changer. Claudio Bravo, it was his error really when he gave the ball to Suarez. Instinct then took over as he tried to keep it out and went up with his hands well outside of his penalty area. Clear cut, straight red card. And although they didn't score from the resulting free kick, and Zabaleta had been injured, their captain, in the build-up to that incident as well, it was only, I think, another 4 minutes before Messi did get the second goal. By that point, it really was with 10 men all over. Messi went on to get his hat-trick, and even though they ended with 10 themselves with Jeremy Mathieu sent off, that was nothing like as significant a red card in the context of the game. And Neymar could even afford to miss a penalty before he went on to get his fourth goal. In the end, a really bad beating that Manchester City suffered at the hands of Barcelona, the heaviest in Europe, but it could have been such a different story.
Let's hear from Willy Caballero. Came on, conceded a few, but saved a penalty as well.
Two great teams in the first half, playing really well, both teams, but unfortunately we concede this goal with a little bit unlucky. We have to run with the score in front after the red card for Claudio, and so I tried to go to the goal as soon as possible to feel comfortable. But against this team, if we miss small things or if we make small mistakes, it's really hard.
Well, Caballero will play now in the rematch of this fixture in a couple of weeks' time. But a lot of the focus will be on the Claudio Bravo incident and the fact it was him trying to play out with his feet, Phil, because that's very much part of the reason he's been brought to the club. And I'm sure that'll disappoint, frustrate Pep Guardiola a little bit.
It will and it won't. It will disappoint him clearly in the circumstances and because of what it meant to the match. But that's what he's told his goalkeeper to do. That's, you know, what why he brought Claudio Bravo to the club to play with his feet.
At least he's doing exactly what I wanted to try and do.
Yes, there was a mistake in implementing what he wants, but he was following instructions in his approach to the game. On this occasion, it backfired badly, clearly, because there was the error involved and then the damage went from there. And you could almost widen that out to the overall context of the game, because Manchester City approached this as Pep Guardiola wanted them to do. He'd said before the game he couldn't abandon his philosophy for one match, regardless of the opponent and how dangerous Barcelona are. He wanted them to play on the front foot. They did that. They created more chances against Barcelona than many sides I've seen do at Camp Nou. And yet, ultimately, it's backfired. And where is that balance between sticking to your principles and maybe, I'm not going to accuse Guardiola of being naive, but maybe a tad reckless in how they approached it, because they were on the edge, Manchester City, throughout. And I think that contributed to the errors defensively that came in as well.
I mean, it was high risk for high reward, and it didn't come. I mean, it was Fernandinho slipping over, I suppose. You could say that was unfortunate. The other goals really came from Manchester City giving the ball away, and the sending off as well happened there. That was a bit more avoidable, but it was one of those things. It was small margins, and it could well have swung the other way. It's just that, I suppose, if you like, the luck and the ruthlessness was all on Barcelona's side, and that's unsurprising when you've got Lionel Messi, who's now got a record 6th UEFA Champions League hat-trick.
Not bad. Not bad at all, and I think he's 37th in all competitions or something like that. Impressive from Messi and from Barcelona. Phil, we'll get your man of the match as well later on in the show. Celtic laughing because it's obvious.
Let me think about that one.
Celtic beaten 2-0 at home by Borussia Mönchengladbach on Wednesday night. Lars Stindl and Andre Hahn with the goals, but they were very, very good on Andre Schubert's side. Kolo Touré caught out for both the goals on the night. And Barcelona are now top of the section with 3 wins from 3. City on 4 points, Gladbach on 3. Maybe there's a chance for Andre Schubert's side to nip in and grab second spot in the group. Gladbach host Celtic next. Barca go to Manchester City with Mathieu obviously suspended and Claudio Bravo for City. Let's turn our attention now to Group D. Our second feature match on Wednesday was Bayern hosting PSV Eindhoven. Richard Kaufman saw this one.
Thomas Müller surely scores! They were sleeping at the back. PSV Eindhoven cross over the top and there's Kimmich with the free header at the far post to head in and it's number two! That's a decent pass, and Narsic is on the end of this. Might have a chance to get the shot away. Does! Oh, it hits the inside of the post and in! What a finish that is from Luciano Narsic. Ian Robin gets the shot away, saved, and there's Lewandowski on the follow-up to head in. Kicks it forward, Robin with the header, and scores! Ian Robin doesn't score that many with his head, does he? It's now Bayern München 4, PSV Eindhoven 1.
Very, very convincing in the end for Bayern. Let's speak to Richard Kaufman very shortly. But first, we'll hear from the Bayern head coach, Carlo Ancelotti.
I think that this was the same Bayern Munich of the first game of the season. We played really well, winning all the games. We had a little bit problems after the international break, but now I hope that we are recovering all the players. The reaction was good. Now we have next game, we have to show the same.
Okay, let's speak to Richard Kaufman now. Richard, was that convincing? I know the scoreline looks convincing. Was it from the team from Munich?
Yes, it was. I mean, let's be fair about it. There was a period in the match where PSV threatened maybe coming away with a draw, but on the balance of the game, I think it was 26 shots in all from the home side. 21 of those came from inside the area as well. There were good chances they were creating in the first half an hour, almost minute by minute. I mean, they were hanging on PSV. They were being outrun, outfought, outthought. Chance after chance was coming, and it was a surprise. It was only 2-0 to Bayern München at that stage. You heard the goals there. And they were the masters of their own downfall for the first PSV as well. But then they got back into the game, the away side, and credit to Philipp Kökü's side, because they could have easily just crumbled and come away with a defeat that saw them embarrassed maybe 5, 6 or more goals. But they got back into it, threatened an equaliser as well, but then the quality showed. And you have to say, it was almost like rolling back the years watching Arjen Robben tonight, of course, against one of his old sides in PSV Eindhoven. He created two of the goals. He scored the final one as well. It was a really good performance from a player, only really, you have to say, getting back to full fitness. He's not long been back from injury, has he? But he looked ready tonight to me, and he capped a fine performance with a goal at the end as well.
Yeah, brilliant performance from Arjen Robben. Paul Saver, what shape do you reckon Bayern are in to challenge for the title this season?
For the UEFA Champions League title, well, they're certainly a team that could challenge as they have been in recent seasons. As we know, when it gets to the knockout stage, it's a question of there are several teams capable, and they're still definitely a team capable. A little bit of transition, of course, going on because of the change of coach, but Carlo Ancelotti knows all about winning this competition. He did it last time he tried with Real Madrid, so they can do it. They'll want to, of course, be beating Atletico when they meet again, which will probably be the decider for first place. It looks like both will probably be going through fairly comfortably, and they want to make sure, well, not to drop any points in the Netherlands and let Atletico get even further clear. Because,
exactly.
Okay, no group winners are going to want to play Bayern, but that's always a big danger in the round of 16. If you don't get that seeding, they're certainly capable, particularly if they've had players going out injured and Lewandowski getting ill. That will help, just like the goals he got for Poland will probably help him get his confidence when it's been a bit up and down, surprisingly, for him at the start of the season. Even though he's still got quite a few goals, he's not been quite the monster he was at the start of last season.
Atletico, they were top of the group with 3 wins and 3 after they picked up a 1-0 success at Rostov. Carrasco has scored 3 of Atletico's last 4 goals in the UEFA Champions League. Richard Kaufman, a great result for Diego Simeone's side.
Indeed, it was 1-0, as you say, Carrasco with the goal. Carrasco has been commenting on his goal, says he's happy to score again tonight. Want to score more, but the most important thing is the side got the 3 points. And his coach, Diego Simeone, admitting it was a tough game, he said, we know what they were about. We had the chances to seal the win, but we were not at the races in that sense. And that made us anxious. Rostov defended with 8 men and they closed the space down well, close to their area. Not easy to penetrate and create many chances with such a close defence. We need to remain grounded now more than ever. Carrasco's doing well. I'm very happy for him and he needs to continue as he is. There's a lot of improving he can do. So a sort of a backhanded compliment the coach to his match winner.
Yeah, he's looking fantastic. Richard, we'll come back to you for your man of the match in the Bayern game shortly on the show. Bayern go to Eindhoven on match day 4. Atletico will host Rostov in Madrid. To Group A, Arsenal 6-0 winners over Ludogorets. Mesut Ozil with a hat-trick, much to the delight of Arsene Wenger.
I would say, first of all, the quality of his technique and after his decision-making, his intelligence and game intelligence is to make the right decision in every situation you face. And he gets 90% of the answers right.
Mesut Ozil on the score sheet again, as he was in the weekend win over Swansea. But there's lots of the attacking players, Paul Saffa, with Sanchez, Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain all get on the score sheet too. That would probably be the most encouraging thing for Arsene Wenger.
It would do. And the quality of the goals in the first half, maybe the two most informed players as well, but Sanchez and Theo Walcott was having his greatest spell for years. Really, that was an absolutely lovely finish from outside the box to basically put the game beyond Ludogorets. Of course, in the second half, Ozil added the gloss with his hat-trick. But, yeah, and they've... I mean, both Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain are on 7 points. They've both beaten Basel and Ludogorets. There's no doubt that Arsenal have been the far more convincing of the two when they've hammered Basel and Ludogorets, really, whereas Paris have sort of scraped victories against them. And it's looking good for Arsenal too, after 5 or 6 years. Actually, they keep getting through. They've got through 16 years in a row, but this is a chance for them to actually top a group, get that seeding, and really give themselves a chance of going deep in the competition in a way they haven't done for many years.
Exactly. Yeah, they're top of the group with 7 points. Paris Saint-Germain also have 7 points after a 3-0 win over Basel. Di Maria, Lucas and Cavani with a penalty on the score sheet, and they are 6 points clear of the rest with Basel and Ludogorets below them. Arsenal go to Bulgaria next. Basel host Paris Saint-Germain. In Group B, Benfica won 2-0 at Dinamo Kiev. Great result for the Portuguese side. Their first win in the section. But Besiktas with that 3-2 win at Napoli, leading three times. Aboubakar with two. What a historic night for the Turkish club. And I actually saw some of their coaching staff looking very emotional after that victory.
Well, it was, because all the talk before the game was the fact that if Napoli had won and the other game in the group had been drawn, Napoli would have made history themselves, being the first team to get through after three games. As it is, Besiktas get that away win. That away win at the Stadio San Paolo, one of the most difficult places. So many teams have come a cropper there. So many of the biggest teams in Europe have come a cropper there. Whether it be in Serie A, be it in UEFA Champions League or any other competition, Besiktas didn't. Twice they had to set back for conceding equaliser, and yet they still managed to win it. Aboubakar twice giving them the lead, and there they are. They're right back in it. And Napoli, having previously been in control of the group, are in serious danger now of losing their top two place after the next set of games.
Yeah, that injury to Milik might really cost Napoli in the competition this season. Napoli top with 6 points, Besiktas 5, Benfica 4, Dinamo Kiev have 1 to their name, and it's a reverse of the fixtures, of course, on match day 4. Okay, we have Phil, Paul and Richard on the show now, so it's time to get man of the matches from the week's games, starting with yours, Phil, from the camp now. I think I know who you're going to go for and why.
I think I almost decided on this as quickly as he moved his feet when he won the penalty. It's the main man, Messi. Has to be.
Yeah, outstanding hat-trick. Richard, who was the outstanding player from your game in Munich?
There were a few there, but it was vintage Robin. Iron Robin, Filip Koku, after the game, called him absolutely world-class. It was a terrific performance. Created 2, scored 1, and great to see him back to business.
And Paul Saffa, outstanding player from Tuesday's games. You got to pick one.
Gianluigi Buffon, those tremendous saves. And that 1-0 win for Juventus could prove to be one of the pivotal results in this group stage.
It certainly could. Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live after what's been a thoroughly entertaining Match Day 3. As Paul mentioned on Tuesday, Gigi Buffon served up a masterclass to secure all 3 points for Juventus, and Madrid were ruthless at the Bernabeu, beating Legia in style. Then on Wednesday, Lionel Messi was the star of the show, as his hat-trick helped Barcelona defeat Manchester City, and Bayern picked up an important 3 points against PSV Eindhoven. Elsewhere, there were match day three victories for Dortmund, Leicester, Sevilla, Porto, Arsenal, Paris Saint-Germain and Atletico. Join us from 19:30 CET on Tuesday, the 1st of November, when we'll bring you coverage of, yes, Manchester City versus Barcelona. And then on Wednesday, the 2nd of November, Wembley plays host to Tottenham versus Leverkusen. From Paul Saffer, Phil Blacker, Richard Kaufman, and myself, Rob Daly, on Match Day Live, it's goodbye.
Adriano now on the right-hand side. He's into the penalty area. He steps around. He's a man. And goes to goal! Oh! It's a tremendous goal! The 10 men of Juventus lead in Lyon.
Ronaldo on the ball, touch wide. This could be five. It is. Morata gets the goal.
Clips it forward. Robin with the header and scores. Arjen Robin doesn't score that many with his head, does he? It's now Bayern München 4, PSV Eindhoven 1. Oh, it's been allowed to run by Stones for Suarez. Squares it for Messi on the hat-trick. Messi's done it again. Neymar now takes the pass from Messi. Neymar still going onto the right foot. Scores this time. 4-0. And Neymar does have his goal after all.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.